Welcome to Coffee Break with Tej. We have CS Cadley and Jamal Smith, business reporters here at the Nassau Guardian. And, you know, we're talking about the budget communication yesterday. We were just talking about some of the things that stuck out to us. And we were just talking about web shop type gaming business and the national lottery. We have a call on the line. Caller, good morning. Caller, good morning. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am. How you doing?
Doing good. How you doing, Caller?
C. Allen Johnson, Critical Thinker.
What's going on, CT?
Here's the question. I go two things. First of all, I always take the position that you should never argue against something you can't argue for. First, let me talk about the school policing and education.
Definitely, okay.
I think what is necessary for us to do is to realize that school policing does not have to be in the context of the Royal Bahamas Police Force.
Right.
Like that caller, I did attend school in the U.S. in high school, and they had a separate and total police regime called, which was the school police, that has all the authorities and rights of the regular police department. And they also act as a support issue, cooperative between the two. But they had what is called exclusive territory over the school and areas surrounding the school, as well as the students in school. And what they did, they didn't necessarily stay on the school campus, but they had a routine for which they were able to respond almost immediately. And they not only protect the school during the time, but also after the time. But eventually, they also even had it where police officers actually lived on campus. I don't know. Maybe we don't have the real estate.
Right.
Eventually, they even moved to where a police officer built a home or a facility on campus, and the school and the police officer actually lived on a lot of the schools in Florida, at least.
On high school campuses.
Yes.
Okay.
So they simply took the position that at the nighttime, it's in the corner of the school, the police officer's there, separate access, fenced in, closed out, whatever. But I guess he had the ability to respond expeditiously to anything that happens within the school. But when we talk also about education and we talk about school size, the problem is not necessarily school size, but it's the methodology used in teaching children. So we used to embrace what is called 21st century educational processes. I don't think the school size would make much of a difference. If you look at some colleges and universities, they have excellent learning curriculum for which students embrace, and they may have hundreds of students in one single classroom. But it's a technological advancement that allows for learning to happen 24 hours a day, as opposed to some confinement of 1 or 2 hours in a particular classroom with a teacher that actually serves as a disturbance. But let me just quickly also move to what is called the lottery.
Definitely.
I think one of the things is that we have a problem in the Bahamas that we don't seem to even understand, I guess because you have the Ponderwitz talking that may don't even understand the processes that goes on in the lottery. First of all, no one plays the Chicago lottery. No one plays the Florida lottery here in the Bahamas except when the people they do sell. I mean, when I say play it, I mean in the truest sense of what we call numbers playing. They do have individuals that sell those tickets here. But in the truest sense, the numbers that are chosen matches those particular destinations. So when you go into a particular web shop and you buy these four balls, you're not buying a Florida lottery. What you're doing is you're buying a number, an opportunity for this number to come. They just utilize the drawings in Chicago, Florida, or whatever as a means to authenticate that the numbers is not a fixed environment. And so, but it isn't, you're not buying Florida lottery.
Right.
We often talked about the fact that gambling cannot be blocked in the Bahamas, and I even hear them talk, and I would tell you that is not so. Technological advancement allows for all gambling shops, even web shops, for it to be totally criminalized. And if you were to actually go in the U.S., you will not be able to reach a lot of the lottery sites. Why? Because the government has taken the position that they will go after the person who sells the numbers if they allow even internet access to those individuals in their country's jurisdiction. So essentially lottery companies do is they block the block of IP addresses that comes from that particular country, because then you would actually be in violation of their law, subject to extradition for allowing one of their citizens to play. Now, just simply to put that in context, is that what we need is an intelligent discourse as to what the lottery is, what can be done to actually stop it, or enhance what is called a revenue-generating regime.
Right.
There is billions of people around the world, and clearly they have jurisdictions in the Caribbean where gaming and lotteries is not legal for its citizens, but the country within itself allows gaming companies to actually reside there, and they actually market to these other people around the world that allow lottery to be legal.
Correct.
So what happens is we need to stop looking at the lottery and gaming in the context, in the singular context of having the humans only play. You have billions of people around the world. If we were to look at it as a revenue regime and a taxation system, that we could begin to have a discussion to expand it beyond simply the rights of behemoths to draw numbers. And so there's both sides of the discussion. So we could, we must have what's called intelligent discourse, as opposed to saying we can't stop it. And I'll take anyone and put them to it that we could stop it if we choose to. The question is, do we want to? And
definitely.
That's the system we have to go to.
All right, man. Thank you, CT. Thank you for calling as usual, man. We'll be right back after the break, and we'll have... we'll have final thoughts on all that we've discussed so far, and we'll talk a little bit about BTC. We'll be back. Guardian Radio 96.9.
Is this happening to you?
My TV off.
What about this?
Internet down again?
Listen, there's a better way. At Satellite Bahamas, we not only guarantee you quality service, we assure you the best quality HD satellite television experience and offer satellite internet service for the family islands. With our team of professionals and the best selection of digital channels and advanced satellite internet technology, we promise that this will never be you again. Make the switch. Satellite Bahamas. Service you can depend on. Top of the Hill, Mackey Street.
The Bahamas Telecommunications Company Limited, BTC, wishes to advise the public that it will be conducting major upgrades to improve its mobile network beginning 10 p.m. on Monday, May 28th until 6 a.m. June 4th. As a result, customers may experience occasional difficulties, including adding minutes to their cell phones, sending and receiving text messages, making local phone calls, and international roaming. At the end of the upgrades, BTC will have a much more stable network, offering a world-class mobile customer experience.
When it comes to your health plan, do you have a major medical or a major mystery? Just how well do you know your health plan? Join Kalina Insurance for Connect, our free education forum where our experts help you understand how health insurance works. And it all happens Thursday, June 14th at 6:30 p.m. at the Sheraton Cable Beach Resort. What is a deductible anyway? And how can I lower my health insurance premiums? Join Kalina on June 14th at Sheraton Cable Beach for answers that take the mystery out of health insurance. For more information, call Kalina at 396-2000.
It reach.
It's fantastic. Don't miss it.
It's almost here.
Every day in the Nassau Guardian, starting Monday, June 11th.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
In a Caribbean style, yeah, yeah. Makes me wanna hold on tight and dance all night long, yeah. Heard she slow winds back on me to her favorite song, in slow motion. Like
welcome back to Coffee Break with Teach. CS Catalina and Jamal Smith in studio with me. And, you know, we just had Critical Thinker call in and speak about the gambling issue as well. He's very knowledgeable about this, and you know, you and him can hang out, Jamal. You guys are knowledgeable about these things, yeah. Man. How y'all so knowledgeable about these things?
Yes, we read a lot.
Yeah, that's what it is. Mm. Where does a webshop type gaming have literature around here? I haven't seen it.
Well, you can check the internet. Just Google it.
You find it. Oh man, and you know, I wanted to ask him, you know. But I didn't get a chance to ask him. But I wanted to ask him, like, you know, does he feel like it's a win or a loss? You guys feel like it's a win. I think that it could be a win, but I think it's more of a loss in my eyes. Mm-hmm. Just because I just feel like there'll be a lot of depression around town. Not around
but
town,
I mean,
around the islands.
We have depression now when you look at the murder rate.
I think it could be worse, though.
I think it's a slippery slope, if you ask me.
It's a catch 22. It just, you just have to see. Well, when I say, I'm not, when I say the whole, this should be legalized, I'm not saying this because I'm for gambling. I'm just looking at the state of the economy and sitting firsthand in Parliament as the Prime Minister gave the budget communication. We are in dire straits.
Yes.
Something needs to be done. If not gamble, I'm just using that as an example. If not gambling, then something else. We need revenue as it stands because we cannot continue on the track that we're on.
I agree. But, you know, I think that there's other ways that we can do it. And I think that it's ways that we can maybe capitalize on the money out there outside of the Bahamas. And I'm not talking tourism. I'm talking about export.
Yeah,
you know,
well, I mean, well, another, when I was talking with Minister Halkidis, the Minister of State for Finance, he was saying just through tobacco smuggling, the Bahamas is losing an upwards of $20 million a year. So imagine if you regulate just that sector. So there are a lot of things that the Bahamas is missing out on if we were to properly regulate these various agencies and revenue collection. We could be making a lot more money. So it necessarily doesn't have to fall on the gambling industry per se.
Right. And I'm just saying we have resources here that the world wants. And, you know, they're talking about offshore drilling now. And that'll be something that the world wants. I don't know if you noticed, but a lot of the places where they have had oil production, there have been wars and bloodshed and all these problems along with it. So I don't think people see that right now. You know, I'm just worried about it.
I think the key to it is the policies that are put in place to ensure that at the end of the day, although political season is over, it's really going to be up to the Progressive Liberal Party to really, they say Bahamians first and to believe in Bahamians. So
right.
It'll be up to them in these 5 years to prove that they are putting Bahamians first. And it'll be up to any government to put Bahamians first.
I hope so. You know, I was also, just before we wrap up, Jamal, you wrote a article here in today's Nassau Guardian in the business section. Grand Bahama hotel taxes slashed by 50%. How large is that for Grand Bahama?
That's huge. That's a great step in the right direction because now that you have these tax cuts, you know, hotel visitors and everybody will now see a decrease in their prices and rates what they receive. So you have more affordable deals and gives them more incentive to come to the Grand Bahama and travel. But my whole thing with that is we have to try to stimulate airlift to Grand Bahama as much as we could because the cruise passengers ain't really going to benefit like it as opposed to the airlift passengers. And let me throw this number out here for you.
Okay.
According to TourismToday.com, up to March statistics, yeah, to date, Grand Bahama has 32,164 visitors by air.
Say that again?
32,164 visitors by air, right? Compared to New Providence, the same period, 274,007.
Wow.
So you see the huge disparity, and the thing about it is that Grand Bahama is way closer to the U.S. than Nassau, even though Nassau is the capital and has more to offer at this stage, but it's kind of far-fetched how it's such a huge disparity in that department because even when I did some research on my own, I looked at plane tickets, it's more expensive to go from Fort Lauderdale from Freeport than it is to Fort Lauderdale to Nassau.
Wow.
And that's weird to me, you know?
Right.
It's like...
Well, the taxes to land there in Grand Bahama are much higher.
Yeah.
The airport taxes. Fees. You know, so... That's something that needs to be addressed ASAP.
Right. And I know that.
We know that.
You know, speaking with tourism officials, they are really putting forward a great effort to try and stimulate that elephant to the island. But, you know, we have to put our head down and get to work so we can get the number up at least to a respectable figure as to where it could compare to New Providence.
And you know what, Jamal? If you go to Grand Bahama and you see where the cruise line comes in, they have like, you know, little makeshift tents, and they have like these people selling things right out there by the port. But the port is so far away from Freeport that they never get out there. You know, to take a cab over there to Port Lacayo or to the bazaar, it's going to cost you minimum $35.
Wow.
You know, so it's a problem with people going there because they're saying we're never coming back because there's nothing here, but they haven't really seen the island,
right?
You know, so Grand Bahama has major issues they need to address and they need to fix. And I think this could be a step in the right direction. But there are no hotels in Grand Bahama right now. I don't know if you know, but Port Lakaya Resort closed.
Right.
You know, they just closed the hotel downtown. Arlakaya hasn't reached maximum capacity in years. They haven't even reached 50% capacity in a while. So, you know, these are problems that need to be addressed.
And I think what the tax reduction, it gives more incentive to hotel investors to come and at least look at Grand Bahama and say, you know what, let's invest in and see what we could get out there. Let's invest in some condos or, you know, a small hotel or something.
Right.
You know?
I mean, I think boutique resorts are the way to go in Grand Bahama right now. Villas, vacation home rentals, stuff like that. I think that's the way to go right now. And I spoke to Minister of Grand Bahama, Michael Darville. He's my former doctor. And I spoke to him yesterday, and he said he'll come on the show sometime. I'm still waiting for, you know, for him to get back to me and let me know when he's coming on the show, because I would really like to know what the Ministry of Grand Bahama is going to do.
He's
going to
have a huge mandate before him to create a whole new ministry, and for an island that's known to have been hit really hard economically.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
I look forward to seeing what Dr. Darville comes up with.
Definitely. Well, thank you guys for coming in. Thank you, Sieska Adderley.
Thanks
you, Jamal Smith.
No problem.
The public, make sure y'all follow Nassau Guardian Business in particular. You know, all these great articles coming out of business. You know, make sure y'all buy a paper. Look in the business section. Look for these two writers as well as Jeff Todd.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Coffee Break with T. It's been a pleasure. I'll see you guys, or you'll hear from me on Monday.